Welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. Happy New Year. I hope you all remembered to vote for our show on Podcast Alley. And welcome to Brian Sant, the tech guru and then producer of The Deadline. Hi, Brian.
Still alive.
Yeah, you survived the holidays, huh, dude?
Whew.
How was it?
Well, I had to work through most of it.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, after we had our just a little conversation off air.
Yeah.
You know how my holidays were.
Yeah, let me tell you. Yeah, it was like I got a message from Brian, and usually Brian's voicemails are like, "Hi, it's Brian. I just need to know what they were doing the podcast. Thanks, bye." Well, I get this message from, "It's Brian. Let me tell you, my Christmas." He went into this whole dissertation. I'm like, okay. But anyway, I need to know when we're going to record this. I was like, oh, this poor baby sounds so bummed. And I was like, dude, my Christmas day sucked raw eggs, too. I woke up with the migraine from hell. And my entire day, even I was like already on to December 26th. It was 1 o'clock in the morning on December 26th, and I was still in pain. And I crawled into bed, and I'm like, I'm just going to have to try and sleep through this. And eventually I did fall asleep, but wow, the whole Christmas day, I just... And you know what started it all? Wait till you hear this. Talk about an obscene migraine trigger. Now, we all know with migraines, yeah, it could be cheese, smoke, perfume, eating something stupid you shouldn't eat, like drinking red wine. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Okay, whatever. No, now I have a new trigger. Gazillipede. And it was a gazillipede who was on the wall near the ceiling of my bedroom. I only got up to go pee and get a cup of water at, like, what? 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, on Christmas morning, technically.
Mm-hmm.
Got back in bed, and I thought, what is that I see out of the corner of my eye? And I turned the little light on my nightstand, and sure enough, it's gazillipede. My God. So I slithered out of bed, ran into the kitchen, got the step stool, got a boot to put on my hand. I got a paper towel. I got the step stool. I ran into the bathroom. I got a big can. I used the good stuff, man. Sebastian Shaper Plus hairspray. It's like $12 a can. I'm like, oh man, we're going all out on this one. Because it's like 1 o'clock in the morning and I want to sleep. So I climb up, and it's above my bureau, which is the tallest piece of furniture in the bedroom. I'm balancing on this little, you know, step stool. And I shoot at it, and it starts to move, but this hairspray's slowing it down. Because you know how lightning fast those centipede, gazillipede, millipede things are, right? I mean, they are
some,
like,
yeah.
Oh, whew, lightning. So he starts to move. I shoot him again, but now he falls down. I have this little heart-shaped box that I keep on top of the bureau, and it has a big bow on it, and God knows where he went into that. And at one point, I thought I saw him. I squirted that, and then I saw him move. Couldn't find him. Ran back into the kitchen, grabbed the flashlight. I come back in. I'm looking him behind the bureau underneath, ready with can of hairspray in hand. Can't find him. And I'm like, screw this. I am not staying in here tonight. And I'm like, Bob, you're on your own. You're a hunter. See ya. That's my cat. So I grab my pillow. I grab my Afghan. Put them out on the couch. I run back. I have the bedroom door closed. I roll up the mat. You know, the one little rug I have in the hallway. And I stuff it under the opening of the door. Now, of course, we all know these gazillipedes can get in through crevices that are like microscopic. But I'm going to do the best I can. So I shove this thing under the door so it can't try to get out. And I have the Christmas tree on in the living room, and I curl up on the couch. I go to sleep, but by sleeping that way on the couch, because of my neck injury from the car accident, I screwed up my neck. So now the Atlas axis was all shifted. It was squeezing the ever-loving bejesus out of the main whatever artery that is. So of course the migraine. I wake up, my head's kaboom, kaboom, and all day. And because it was physical, there was no amount of drugs in the world could get rid of it, because I needed a chiropractor to come in and just go, you know, and put it back the way it's supposed to be, and it would have relieved it all. So I suffered all of Christmas Day. Fun.
Two words, air mattress.
Actually, yeah, I have one. That's right. Well, you know, by this point, it's 1:30 in the morning. I'm like, oh, I can just sleep on the couch. Because the couch is comfortable. Apparently, it's not compatible for a neck-injured person,
well,
but
now, you know.
Now I know. So, yeah, that was, you know, I know we talk paranormal here, but, you know, the bug thing, bugs are frightening. So there you go. And there's plenty of other listeners out there, all six of them, who are saying, yeah, she's right, those gazillipedes.
Maybe one.
And Dean is listening going, I hate those things. Yeah.
But she's willing to go to Eastern State.
Yeah, God bless her. You know, so. And New Year's was good, right?
Yeah.
I texted you Happy New Year's, right? Or did I not bother with you? No. Hey, you never look at texts anyway. Well, anyway, yeah, I sent out a text to a couple people, but. Yeah, we stayed up. We got to see the ball drop.
No, I was home just before the ball dropped and didn't even watch it and just went to bed.
Really? One of those real nightlife people. Yeah, it was quite different for me. I mean, every year it's just been decreasing. And it's not for lack of trying on my part. You know, I'm still like, if you said to me, Laura, I need you in an evening gown and we are hitting in a limo and getting to the city, we're doing this and that, I'm so there. You know, I would still not go into the city and stand out there and freeze my tuchus off to watch the ball drop. No. But to go to a nice party, I mean, the one year when we rented a super stretch limo and everybody chipped in, because we said, you know, the whole rule of don't drink and drive, we wanted to break both rules. So everybody chipped in, and we just cruised from party to party, stopping in, making merry. We were all dressed to the nines, and then you could drink champagne in the limo, and you could drink at a party, get back in the limo, have champagne, go to another party. Awesome. But then over the years, it came down to like, okay, well, we won't get dressed up. We'll go to Larry's house. Then the Larry's house party piddled out.
Right.
Last year I had surgery, so I was still home recuperating, so I did the best I could with some noisemakers hats and some beads and the kids and I jumping around like idiots on the balcony at midnight. Woo! So it's really decreased. This year it was like, Chris had to wake me up. It's 11:15. Let's go watch the ball drop. I'm already in my pajamas. Like, my hair is a mess. I'm like, gone are the days.
Well, I heard on the radio that if you go to watch the ball drop, well, first, there's no alcohol allowed. And they kind of have things fenced off, like you're in a certain fenced area. And, like, you can only go in and out of it, you know.
And no bathrooms, right?
Nope.
Oh, how could you stand in that cold weather?
And people had to get there at, like, 5 p.m. just to get...
They said some people were lining up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I know.
I'm like, that's just insane.
But
you can be in the comfort of your own home and get all the close-up shots and...
Yep. But I realized my age.
Yeah.
We were...
How old are you now?
39.
Oh, okay.
We had finished with dinner. We're like standing out in the lobby just talking. Uh-huh. And there's a line out the door because it's a sports bar. They're having a big New Year's bash and all that stuff. And there's some women there who their skirts are just barely covering stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're wearing like, you know, spaghetti straps, blobbing. And I, instead of being like, whoa, I'm like, man, they're idiots. They're freezing their asses off.
Oh, my God. You better go get your testosterone level something. Checked. Oh, my God. The old man's thinking practicality instead of, like, you know.
Hornality.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris, February 2nd is looking more and more like a reality.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Well, let's move along to the meeting announcements. We have the Northwest Division is up at bat on January 15th, and that is at 293 Main Street in Hackettstown, the Community Center. It's Dina Trico, team leader. The Northeast Division is January 31st, and that's at 162 West Main Street in Pagoda at the Recreation Building. That's headed up by team leader Laura Lindemann. And then we have the Central Jersey Division on February 6th in the Hazlitt Library located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. That's headed up by team leaders Gregory and Sherry Irish. All meetings start at 7 p.m. and end promptly at 8:30 p.m. and are free and open to the public to attend. You do not have to be a member. So there you have it. And if you missed any of this, you can always get it right on the homepage of our website, too, njghs.net. Because I don't know how many emails I get from people saying, oh, I heard your podcast and I really want to go to the meeting. When is it? I'm like, well, then you should have heard how many times I iterated njghs.net. Hello. Anyway, our 100th show is coming up. I believe it's, what, the January 25th upload?
I'll tell you in just a second.
Trust but verify.
Yes, the 25th.
Yes. Okay. So, people, you can give a call to the NJGHS eVoice phone number and chime in with your thoughts, news, congrats, whatever, so we can play them on the show. Note, I said play them on the show, which means don't leave anything obscene, you know, because then we won't play it.
It'd be a little obscene.
All right, if it makes Brian happy. Well, this is the same guy who just looked at spaghetti straps and said she's freezing. What's going to be obscene for you now. Anyway, so we can play him on the show, and you'll get to be a star, baby, a star, so you can listen to hear your voice or your message on the show. The phone number to call is 908-325-0140. Sorry, it's not toll-free, but most people these days, you know, they have unlimited nationwide calling, so it shouldn't be a problem. Again, the number is 908-325-0140. It's eVoice. You can leave your message. And it's also listed on our website in my bio on the Who's Who page of the NJGHS.net site. So check it out. Give us a call and leave us a message so we can pull together all these different messages and play them on the 100th episode.
Woo-hoo. We should update that page too.
What page?
The Who's Who page.
Why?
Because like some of that stuff's like pretty old.
Is this another like Laura, your old joke, or are you being serious
about
it?
No, like, for example, you know, what scares Brian? Laura driving a hearse? Well, you know,
oh.
You know, that's kind of...
Au passé. Yes. Well, okay. I'll just put it right at the top of my list of things to do.
That should be done before February 2nd.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Happy haunting.
So, what do you do when you catch a ghost?
Burn that bridge when I come to it, I suppose.
Meet Irving Rehnquist.
So, do you still go for any young thing in a little skirt that'll take you?
You're not the sharpest tool in the shed, are you?
An out-of-work, out-of-shape paranormal investigator.
You've been giving me nothing, Irving. Your focus is shifting off this project.
That girl, Dottie, she has a ghost.
We have something!
Can I come tonight?
Do you want to come on an investigation?
Oh, yeah.
This is no time to lose your head.
All right, remember the strategy.
Try not to talk at all if I can help it.
So we split up.
Is that okay?
No, that is not okay. That means I'm gonna eat something that's gonna turn into a giant worm.
Mommy.
Or maybe I'm gonna look into a mirror and I'm gonna see something there on my face and it's gonna make me pick at it until I'm pulling my skin off.
You don't believe that crap, do you?
Hey, you're a ghost hunter, okay? You chase after ghosts and UFOs.
Irving Rehnquist Ghost Hunter. Series premieres October 31st, only at IrvingRehnquist.com.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for ParaShare. Now, do you have a paranormal experience or ghost encounter to tell? Then send it in an email to thedeadline@njghs.net. For each ParaShare you submit and we read on the show, you'll receive one credit. You may use your credits to receive membership in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, and only one credit is necessary to do that. However, you may cash in 10 credits for a natal chart. That's a $75 value, people. We'll keep track of the ParaShares and let you know when you hit 10, and then you can send me your birth date, birth time, and birthplace, and I will send you a full-color natal chart with printout and my handwritten notes, because a lot of times the stuff that comes with the computer isn't as exact, you know. So I usually put my handwritten stuff on the notes. So there you have the new deal for ParaShares starting now in 2008, because remember back in 2007, Brian said, oh, you know, just giving out a membership, and it really left those of you who are already members out in the cold and with absolutely no motivation to want to send in a ParaShare. So now you can send one in and say, hey, I'm not a member, give me membership, done, you get your credit. But if you want to store up and get 10 credits, then you can send me your info. And you know what? It doesn't even just have to be for you. If you turn out where you say, hey, I want the natal chart, but I want it for my little granddaughter who was just born, or I want it for my son, or whatever.
Or think about this, people. Someone's birthday is coming up. All you got to do is send us 10 ParaShares. You can give them that for free. It won't cost you anything.
It'll be printed out. You know, the chart, the wheel chart comes in color. All the text is in black ink. You'd have my handwritten notes. And yeah, it's a, you know, and even for like a newborn baby, it's a good parenting tool to have in the arsenal, let me tell you, because you can look ahead and see, like, some of the stuff I've even seen with my kids, it's starting to, I see things that are coming true and I'm like, okay, let's nip this in the bud. But yeah, so I guess I've been doing charts for people since
The Stone Age.
No, professionally since about 97. I did a chart for...
18 or 19?
19.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah. I did a chart for Robert Cuccioli, who was the star of Jekyll and Hyde when it was on Broadway. And when I did his chart, I did the whole natal thing, and then I sent it to him with all the notes and stuff, and I also ran like a quick thing of transits for the upcoming year for him, because he was thinking at that point of leaving Jekyll and Hyde, because mm-hmm. it was a very strenuous performance for him. And I remember writing in the notes saying, you know, I see you more out west, this is more like you are transitioning out of the East Coast, and blah, 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 blah. And like a year later, he sends me a thank you note, and it was really nice, a nice handwritten note saying, God, I'm so sorry I never got around to writing sooner to thank you. And he went on to say how he did end up out in California. He mm-hmm. did one, like a couple spots in some TV shows, and but it was like, he's like, yeah, the chart was really amazing, you know. So, you know, it's a neat little blueprint of your life, and nothing is set in stone, people. Don't be afraid of astrology. Just it's like your natal chart shows you
right.
your makeup, but you still, being human and having free will, you can always, it gives you the power to change some of those things. So anyway, there you have it. If you want to save up and send in 10 parashares, you get a natal chart done. Not a bad deal, because I do charge $75 for those. I mean, that includes a half-hour consultation, but still, you know, you'll get my notes. It's good enough.
Yeah, we listen to her enough on here.
Yeah. And I wouldn't mind if someone said, look, I got the chart in the mail. You know, can I call you?
I understand something. Or...
Yeah, I would always walk people through it. That's not a problem. All right, so since we have no parishioners for the new year, quelle surprise, here's some good examples I got off the net. This will give you some idea of what you can do in a parishioner. This is called Night Shift Ghost by Veronica. I am a home health care provider for the developmentally disabled and am currently working in a house that has to be haunted. Let me explain why. First of all, the home is located in Chesterton, Indiana, and I split shifts with two other ladies. I work 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., and the other shifts are 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. and 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. Now, with that out of the way, let me begin. Our client moved into this house in October of this year, and, of course, there were adjustments to be made. By her being mentally disabled, we knew that her adjusting period would be equivalent to that of a child. She normally goes to bed around 8 p.m., when the 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. person is working. The young lady that works this shift came in on the second day in order for me to leave, but she had quite a story about the previous night. When she put the client to bed... sorry... She went into the living room to complete her paperwork. Not 10 minutes later, the client came running down the hall, whining that she couldn't go to sleep because, quote, the man won't leave me alone. We both laughed it off, nervously, I might add. About a week later, the knocking began. The house would be quiet, and out of nowhere, there would be a light knocking on the walls and even coming from the floor. Then our night shift person, which is the 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., told us that she saw a shadow cross the hall from our client's bedroom to the bathroom. Thinking it was the client, she got up to check on her. When she looked in the bathroom, there was no one there. And the client was still in her bed, fast asleep. Needless to say, she was totally freaked out. Sorry. My experience happened on Thanksgiving morning as the client was taking a nap. I was sitting on the couch watching TV. From the couch, we were able to look down the hall and see into the kitchen. No one else was there except me and the client. I clearly heard a woman say, "Please help me," and she began to sob. I am getting spooked out just writing about this. Anyway, thinking that it was the client, I got up to check on her. She was fast asleep, and that's when it hit me. Our client has a speech impediment that prevents her from speaking clearly. The voice I heard was speaking as clearly as you or I. I went back into the living room and vowed to ignore every noise from then on. I am spooked every day going to work, but it's my job and I have to deal with it. Now you see? There's a good example. There's everyday life, just going to work and look
simple,
what happened.
Right to the point.
Yeah, well written too.
Yep.
For a change. Okay. The Demler House by Lucy. It was the middle of third grade for me, about 1962, when my parents moved from North Carolina back to New Jersey. My parents bought a house in Livingston, but the seller wasn't ready to move until after Christmas, so they rented a house in another small town. The house was a pre-Revolutionary War mansion with fireplaces in each room, including the kitchen. The house even had secret passages, of which the elderly owner, Mrs. Demlar, said there were 10, We found 7. The house was beautifully furnished with antiques and wonderful furniture. The third floor that had a special door to it was also furnished, but had been made into sort of an apartment with a kitchenette and bedroom with an old four-poster bed. This place sounds gorgeous.
Yeah.
The well-stocked, old-fashioned library was up on the third floor as well. We were all big readers in our family. The library was well used. In fact, the third floor was our favorite place to play on wintry days. It had 2 of the 10 secret passages. My mother didn't work outside the home. She was a homemaker and a clean freak. Being the only daughter of my Irish mother, I was her little helper. We were upstairs cleaning the third floor, and my mother swore in her Irish brogue, "I've told you kids over and over, do not play on this bed." I started to say we never did and stopped. There was a depression of a body made on the bed. Even the pillow was pressed down as though a head had lain there. Mother pushed me to the library. "Dustin, put the books right, girl. Get on with it." I did as I was told and stopped cold. The handmade rocking chair by the closed window was slowly rocking back and forth like someone was in it. My mother came up behind me and shoved me. "Lazy girl, move!" And I pointed. My mother let out a shriek, grabbed me by the hair, and pulled me down the stairs, still shrieking. She gathered all us kids in the kitchen and called my father to pick up a padlock and latch on his way home from work, and to do it now. My father wasn't one for ghosties and goblins, as my Ireland-raised mother was, but he did latch and padlock the door leading up to the upstairs apartment. He kept the keys on his keychain so no kid could sneak back up there. None of us wanted to, anyway. We became afraid. When it came time to move into our new home, and out of the Demler house, as we called it, my dad and I gathered up all the books that belonged up there. When we got up there, the place was a huge wreck. The bedclothes torn, the books thrown about, the rocking chair upside down. And man, was it cold up there. The radiators were warm, but the air wasn't. My father and I set the place right, putting everything back in its place, including the rocking chair. My father made me swear to never tell my mother what we found up there. I truly believed the entity was up there was angry with we kids. It was angry at the fact that we kids weren't playing up there anymore. It was my first encounter with the paranormal, but it certainly wasn't the last. Very cool.
Nice, very nice.
And we're going to take a quick break.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator.
Hi, this is John Zaffis, author of Shadows of the Dark. Welcome to another evening of Deadline, hosted by New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. I hope you enjoy the show.
Okay, it's time for Haunted Trivia. Now, last week's Haunted Trivia, you were asked, what musical instrument did Al Capone have with him while at Eastern State Penitentiary? The answer, the banjo. One person actually got this answer correct.
Really?
You want to know who?
Me.
No. Dina, our team leader for the Northwest Division, which as a team leader, she is now exempt from winning anything.
Uh-huh.
But at least she wrote in with the right answer.
My answer was better.
Yes, yes. This week's Haunted Trivia has a skill level of fairly easy. The current Will Smith movie, I Am Legend, is based on its namesake novel by Richard Matheson. In it, a plague causes vampires, and Will, his character, is immune. What was the name of the movie version of this book in 1964 that starred Vincent Price? Be the first person to email the correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you'll win a t-shirt. Not just any t-shirt, the NJGHS t-shirt. Right?
Yep.
Okay. Actually, I better check the supply on those. We might be running kind of low. Anyway, stay tuned to our website, njghs.net, and don't forget to sign up for our Yahoo group so you always get the latest and greatest info blasted right to your email inbox, okay? I did get an email back from Gregory Irish, about Bella's Blessing event.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I apologize. I don't have it right in front of me. He said that the evening went really well. They raised a lot of money for the event and to alleviate the costs and everything that the family is experiencing with their little granddaughter being this terminally ill with, SMA, spinal muscular atrophy. So little Bella had the whole event. And they sent me pictures of Greg and Sherry with their granddaughter, Isabella, in her little dress, the little shoes. Oh, my God, how cute. So, really, our hearts go out to you guys. We're still keeping in our prayers, and we're very, very glad to hear that the event went really well. All right? So, that said, we're going to start to beat a path out of here. Thanks again to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king.
As always, our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish, Dina Trico and Laura Lindemann. And, of course, thanks to you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly. Don't forget to vote for us on Podcast Alley. Because, you know, at some point in life, you have to meet the deadline.